I've often told you that all of my sermons are created for me. And I would like to invite you again into my spiritual journey. And it was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung from the chimney in care and hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Like 100 years ago when I was a kid, there was a show on television, back when television was very black and white, called To Tell the Truth. Its format has been picked up by an NPR show that probably several of you listen to, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And most of you know that it's an attempt to tell which of three stories is truth versus the two that are false. Truth, it seems, has always been very difficult at times to ascertain, and is certainly kind of easy to manipulate. And we live in an absolutely crazy-making time if you live even somewhat actively in the real world of 24/7 news coverage. We've always known, I think, that the National Enquirer magazine, for instance, has been mainly fake news. I didn't realize, seriously, I did not realize until very recently that, lo and behold, the National Enquirer actually bought True News and buried it so no one would know the real truth. What's that called? Capture and kill, I think. In the world of politics, since before the time of Pontius Pilate and adolescents trying to get out of a jam, they are oftentimes heard having said, "What is truth anyway?" This has only grown in the last couple of years, this testing of truth, to President Trump's newest personal lawyer saying, "No, it isn't truth," said Giuliani. "Truth isn't truth." And we can't help but remember that Trump's previous personal lawyer is about to go to prison for 3 years for lying. So I assume there must be a time, there must be a place, a mark, a reality, when truth stops being fake news and becomes real jail time. The church that follows the way of Jesus, the one some of us call the Christ, the Messiah, our Savior, is truth an essential building block of such an organization? I think we have to be careful in our answer to that question. Again, some 100 years ago, I graduated from Ball State University, and my quest for truth was in very high gear at that point in my life. In my second trimester of my first year, I took my first religious studies course. I went to class the first day wearing my 3-inch silver cross. And Dr. Carl Andre, his steely blue eyes twinkling, introduced me to class that day saying, "Those of you sitting close to Mr. Skiles need to be very careful, because it seems as if Mr. Skiles is a big proponent of capital punishment." I went from that undergraduate degree to seminary, the official place, you know, one goes to be an ordained minister. I did not go to get ordained. I went in my quest for truth about God, about faith, about religion. And honest to God, what I learned about more than anything else was about the traditions of religion that too often, most often, I'm afraid, get confused with faith. Traditions, at their best, are reflections of truth, and at their worst, they are perhaps no more significant than how it has always been done before. A tradition that I grew up with from my mom is that a Christmas tree was not even allowed to enter the house until Christmas Eve, late afternoon, or early evening. My Irish Roman Catholic mother knew that liturgically Advent was about waiting in the darkness for the birth of the new light, and our Christmas tree lights were never turned on until Christmas morning. Complete with those bubble lights. Back in my day, I think they actually boiled the liquid to make those bubbles. They were so hot to touch that you would get a severe burn. That is a Christmas truth. Speaking of truth, is the traditional Christmas story true? There was this past week on, I think, Wednesday, an opinion piece in the New York Times by Ross Douthat that I found rather fascinating, as it dealt not so much with the demise of Christianity, but was thinking through how what we believe about God is changing. And most often churches have not led the change in thinking nearly as much as we have been drug waiting and screaming, you know, into the 21st century of religious understandings. This is most obviously seen in those, I think, right-wing fundamentalist churches that are so supportive of making America great again, as it once was, rather than how it could be. So many of them are stuck with old stories that ensured the continuation of privilege without reflection or morality being considered. Our traditional Christmas stories are most likely not factually true, but they are reflective of a great truth. No matter which or whose ancient faith system we're talking about, all of us will have to adjust if we are to meaningfully participate in the rest of this century that will see humankind begin living and thriving on the moon, on the planet Mars, and beyond. I was listening to NPR the other day on my way home, and on the radio, they were interviewing the CEO of Elon Musk's space efforts. She was being asked to comment on Virgin Atlantic's success this last week at achieving what, being some 51 miles up into outer space and finally safely returning to Earth. And she reminded the interviewer that her company, 10 years ago, barely even existed. And that today they are the major supply chain to NASA and the space station. And that in another 10 years, she said, they will be offering rustic camping experiences on Mars. Huh. That's rustic. Whether Jesus was born in a stable, a cave, surrounded by donkeys, sheep, and wise men and women, was not and is not important. The details of his birth most likely were not remembered until it was too late to get anything accurate. What we have in our Bible readings for Christmas are wonderful, fanciful tales to try to say something about the nearly unbelievable truth that in the adult Jesus, people experienced God as close as his beating heart. They experienced it in his smile, in his walk, in his smell. To say nothing of the more crucial teachings of his, which then and today challenge us individually and as a community to be big, better, and believable as men and women of faith. People are falling away from all faiths with an increasing rapidity that ought to make us pay attention. 80% of Americans claim to be spiritual. They believe deeply, but they are rejecting traditional religion. Ours is not a God that is caught between the pages of this book. Too often, it's churches that get caught between those pages. The book is a tool. But God is alive and luring us forward to live faithfully with excitement and joy the crucial aspects of what we think we believe, to define what it means to be men and women who follow our faith seriously. Faithful living was defined well before Jesus. In this morning's scripture lesson, it is defined by John Jesus' cousin, the one we call the Baptist, and the crowds ask him, John, then what should we do to be faithful? And I'm going to quote. In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none. Good Lord, I have seven coats at home. And whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? And he said to them, collect no more than the amount that you are required to. And soldiers also asked him, well, what should we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with what you're paid. And just a few pages later, after John is imprisoned, he's about to be killed for demanding that the king of his day be held accountable for his outlandishly poor behavior. John's disciples came to Jesus and asked, are you the one that we should now follow? And Jesus responds, go tell my cousin, my mentor. Go back and report to John what you have seen and what you have heard. That the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Remember metaphor, please. The blind, those who can't see the truth of how we are being oppressed and abused by government and faith traditions. Those crippled, lame from how they have been treated by those in power, those cast off minority groups, are no longer like lepers. They have homes now amongst the faithful. Those who have been deaf to the words calling for justice and mercy, they can now hear. Those dead to hope have new life, and the poor have the good news brought to them. They are no longer doomed to lives of poverty. That's the good news. I believe Marcus Borg, who taught us in his years as a Bible lecturer, that we have to let loose of the traditional words and let God speak through the mighty metaphors. God is alive and speaking to us still. And I don't think faith is really that hard to determine. It's not about believing in doctrines, in theological premises that are hard to read. Faith is as simple as caring personally and systemically for the poverty-stricken in need. Faith is about speaking truth to power and lifting up those who live in utter despair and loneliness. That's not that hard. Faith that is doing those things will never die, no matter if we are living on a colony on the moon or camping out on Mars or finally fixing that which is causing life to be at risk on our planet. The real wonder of Christmas isn't our traditions or our glittering lights. It isn't just the reality that normal people experience the fullness of God in Jesus and that Jesus was born in Bethlehem or Nazareth some 2,000 years ago. I think the real wonder is that God can be born fully in any one of us today. That God can bring God's healing, God's peace, God's purpose, and God's forgiveness into our lives. If, just as they did in Bethlehem or Nazareth, we will make space to welcome God this Christmas. It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung from the chimney with care, in hopes that God soon would be there. May it be so.